Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. Carrie Hines from HairRadio.com, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to our next installment of Hair Nation Expo Live 2019. It's the largest African-American themed live hair show in the Northeast. It's being held over three big days at Saturday, May 4th, 2019, Sunday, May 5th, 2019, and Monday, May 6th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Monday from 10 a.m. to 5 at the world-famous Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It's a live hair and beauty show that features the best in education, performances, hair and beauty demonstrations, competitions, two-stage areas, and shopping on our large exhibition floor. We have a full bar with our own drink specials and VIP areas. We also have our own exclusive Hair Nation Expo check-in counter where you present your admission ticket for the event. What's great about Hair Nation Expo 2019 is that there's so much to do in Atlantic City. The Showboat Hotel is located right on the boardwalk and at the water. It's footsteps away from amusement rides, restaurants, casinos, so much more. Now, if you are a vendor, buy your booth or table early while prices are low. You get a standard 10 by 10 space with much more room for you to make money at Hair Nation Expo 2019. So you want to call us right away to reserve your space. Our phone number is 1-800-379-0748. Once again, that's 1-800-379-0748. Now, sponsors, you get much more back from your investment into one of the largest African-American trade shows in our country. So there's so much that you're going to earn back just from making a simple investment. Now, for more information, go to our website at hairnationexpo.biz. That's .biz. Call us at 1-800-379-0748. Now, remember parking. We have a great parking price at just $12 for self-parkers. And if you are interested in valet parking, it's only $15, and that's an all-day rate. Now, to our amazing show visitors, remember you do not have to be a professional in the hair or beauty industry to attend Hair Nation Expo 2019. Buy your ticket early, get it as low as $30 in advance, or you'll pay up to $55 at the door. Remember, $99 will cover you for all 3 days of admission into the Hair Nation Expo event. What do you get for the amazing low admission price? Well, you get many free classes and an opportunity to network with the very best. Don't forget to ask us about VIP pricing. Remember, we do have VIP pricing and we have VIP spacing. So spaces for you to have a great time. So do keep that in mind. Now, we cannot wait to see you on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's May 4th, May 5th, and May 6th, 2019 at Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm Carrie Hines. Remember to visit our website again at www.hairnationexpo.biz. B-I-Z. Thank you. We'll see you there. All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. It is Thursday morning,
August 30th, 2000, I'm going to say 2014, it's 2018. I missed about 4 years or so. Anyway, happy to have you with us. We also have a very special guest joining us right now on the line. Now, you guys know Mr. Terrence. He's been with us many times in the past. And the Hair Radio Morning Show is proud to welcome Mr. Terrence. Good morning to you on show number 343. Welcome.
Good morning, Carrie.
Now, Mr. Terrence, for our avid listeners and fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show, they've been following you throughout your career here at the Hair Radio Morning Show. And you were just on recently with some big news, but the news has gotten even bigger. Why don't you tell everybody what we're talking about this morning? Tell folks what's different about you today than when you were here the last time.
I'm proud to say, Carrie, that I already was a father because I had two stepdaughters, but I treat them like my own. But my beautiful baby girl, Malia, was born on Monday at 7:29 a.m.
Oh, that is just awesome. We are so happy for you.
Thanks.
Now, I've got some questions for the new dad, okay? Yes, you are already a dad, but this is pushed to a different level now. So tell us... First of all, congratulations to you on behalf of everybody at the Hair Radio Morning Show. We are just so overjoyed. She's like a little tiny member of the Hair Radio Morning Show already. yeah, she'll be getting her microphone in the mail.
Right.
That's how we do it. So now tell us, what was it that, you know, because everybody you meet, everybody's giving you advice. You know, before she was born, everybody's telling you all these things to expect and anticipate. Even those of us who don't have kids were given advice.
<You know?
laughs> Right. We really were. So what are some of the things that people warned you or tried to say, like, you know, especially like the sleep thing and all of that? Did people give you advice as well, Terrence?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of, like you said, parents trying to give me advice and people that aren't parents, and then some people that are parents but don't have custody of their kids talking about, this is what you need to do, this is what you need to do. I said, hold up. Your kids
might be the ones to listen to.
I said, you don't even have your kids in your custody, so I don't know if I want to take too much advice from you, but everybody's been so helpful. My family, my friends, the people at Hair Radio, you know, everybody's been pouring out an abundant amount of support. And it's just, I didn't think it would be so real, but it got real when I pulled up yesterday and brought her home for the first time. So it was awesome, you know, I couldn't even get the dang car seat up out of the car. I'm all messing with the buttons and I'm like, oh man. And then my fiance was like, this is how you do it. I said, oh, well, you can't get mad at me, you know, because this is actually like one of my first times trying to install the car seat and take out the car seat and, you know, just all the things that come with being a new parent. So I'm excited.
Well, that would be a challenge for anybody. I would not know. I would literally just be lost. I'm going to tell you that right. And it's interesting because, you know, you really don't think about these things until you're in the situation.
Right.
You really, like, I would never have thought that I should kind of figure that out beforehand. I would just never have thought that. And so I take my hat off to you. I really do, because you're discovering new things, I believe, about yourself through the eyes of your newborn baby. So that is just awesome. Now, I do want to say a beautiful name. What inspired the name Malia?
I didn't really have any true inspiration. I was it just came to me one day, and this was way before she was born. It's like it's been in my mind frame for a couple of years. I'm like, if I ever have a son or a daughter, what would I name it? And I definitely wasn't going to name my son Terrence, but I didn't really kind of figure out what I wanted. I know I didn't want to name him after my dad because everybody names them after their dads, and you'll have like seven juniors, you know, like, or, you know, you don't want to do that. Terrence number two, Terrence number three, Terrence Junior, Junior Senior, whatever. I didn't want to set my kids up with that. I wanted them to have their own identity and their own mark on the world. So I came up with Malia. You know, I just thought it was a beautiful name and just popped in my head. And then when I thought I was going to have a daughter, I said, well, whenever it is, 5 years, 10 years later down the line, her name is going to be Malia. I'm set in concrete, set in stone. It's not going to be nothing else. But I knew it was going to be Malia, and people kept fighting with me. Why don't you do this? No, I already got the name. So, you know, and it played out beautifully with her name and her middle name. I named her after my mom, my mom's middle name and all that, and then she has my last name to carry the legacy. So it all panned out perfectly.
Well, that is wonderful. I would have been happy with one more insertion. Terry works real well for little boys or little girls, as I found out in elementary school.
Right. Maybe the next one. Maybe the next one. I got to run it by the fiance, though, so, but maybe the next one we could do.
I still agree.
Right. It could be Terrence, like Carrie, but Terrence. It could be Terrence.
All right.
I'll try to plug you in.
We are thrilled and overjoyed, and we just wish you guys so much happiness out there. Now, Terrence, while we have you, it might be good to turn to some of the business at hand when you are ready. We wanted to kind of remind the folks out there, you are balancing everything from family and business. Now, what's going on these days over at Platinum Needles? What's happening at Platinum Needles these days? Remind everybody what Platinum Needles is all about.
Well, Platinum Needles is all about health and sanitation. We came out with Platinum Needles to promote health and sanitation in the hair industry while performing sew-ins, dreadlock repairs, cranial prostheses, wigs, and things of that nature. And we came out with them with the simple mind of just be, you know, health and sanitary while you're performing these services. There's a lot of women out there that don't know about the dangers that lurk while getting these services. Yeah, you can have $300 and $400 bundles, but if your hair is not being put in a sanitary manner, a whole bunch of problems could arise. You can get different types of bacteria, you know, like funguses, HIV, different types of nasty stuff you don't want to be passed on just from an unsanitary needle. So the concept is simple. They're pre-threaded and already knotted. You get them at a steal of a deal, man. I mean, you get these bad boys already ready to go. You just open them up, take off the little band, get the sewing, and after you're done, you throw them away, Carrie. It's awesome sauce.
Terrence, I think, you know, for you guys out there, we're just chatting with Mr. Terrence. You guys know him. He's a regular radio show host right here on the Hair Radio Morning Show. We're happy to have him on, and we're just having him remind everybody about Platinum Needles. Now, right now, they can always get them by going to your site. Now, give everybody all those details. We'd love to have you remind everybody.
For people looking to purchase or order, you can look us up. We're all over social media. You can go to Instagram. You can type in Platinum Needles with two M's, and we'll pop up on Instagram. You can type us up on Facebook. We'll pop up on Facebook as well, Platinum Needles with two M's. You can follow my sister under Princess Platinum on Instagram. There's so many different avenues that you could reach out. We're all over. You can go on YouTube. We got over 50 tutorials on how to use the product, on how many needles it takes to do a sew-in. It's just a wealth of information on YouTube about people talking about the product, what they purchased the product, what they endorse it, where they sponsor it. It's all types of good stuff on YouTube as well. So, you know, I'm just excited to see where the future leads.
Well, I'm excited for you also. And there's one other place right now where folks can connect with you, and that's our very own social media site at hairradio.com. So that's www.hairradio.com, just one R in the middle of hair and radio. So it's hairradio.com. Now, when you go there, search Terrence. I think they'll find you easily. And since you spell your name, why don't you share that with everybody? You spell it with an E or an A. How do you spell Terrence, just for those listeners out there?
If you're on the Hair Radio social network and site, it's T-E-R-R-A-N-C-E, Terrence Smith.
Wonderful. And they can find you, again, going to hairradio.com. If you're not a member, that means you need to be a member. It's free to do so. It doesn't cost you a penny to sign up at hairradio.com and become a regular member. All you need to do is really pretty much upload a picture of yourself and provide an email address, and they pretty much will confirm your membership. Now, if you have a business and you're looking to promote your business, then you can take on a business page for just $25 a month. And they have all kinds of ways to help you get out there with that. So I just want to say also, Terrence, this is really fantastic. But you're doing a lot of things to encourage and inspire folks who are trying to become entrepreneurs. What are some things, what are some of the qualities that you feel being an entrepreneur that you need to have? What are some of the positive things that you think a person should have in becoming an entrepreneur?
You can really, when you're an entrepreneur, you can't really, it's hard to say. You have to have some amazing skill set, and you have to be able to adapt. If I would give any advice, I would tell people you have to adapt to anything thrown your way, because, I mean, being an entrepreneur, things come your way and you'll look and say, man, I didn't know that was going to be thrown at me. It comes in different shapes. It can be a family member. It can be some friend that you thought you had a friend over 30 years, just different type of loopholes. You can go bankrupt, you know, and being an entrepreneur, you definitely don't want to run out of money, because, you know, you're going to be finding ways to have to replace that money real soon. So it's a constant of evolving and learning. It's a day-to-day process, and I would just tell people to be resilient, stay on task, keep focused, and work until you can't work no more, until your fingers hurt, your body's tired physically, mentally. You just got to give, instead of giving 100%, you have to give 390% each day, 490% the next day, and follow that and keep hope alive.
Well, I have written an article called "Is There a Dark Side to Being an Entrepreneur?" And members of our Hair Radio social network, we were just saying at hairradio.com, you can go there and click on the articles button, which is along the gold tab if you're on a computer. If you're on your cell phone, of course, you can always go to hairradio.com on the internet on your cell phone and go right to the social media site as well. And then just open up on the bars, which allows you to choose the different tabs or the different pages. And on there, you'll see where we have articles. So when you click on the articles tab, this one article that I was inspired to write, I think you'll like it. It's very positive. And what it says, even though it has that kind of title to it, "Is There a Dark Side to Being an Entrepreneur?" I'm going to say yes, there is. Let me also say this, Mr. Terrence. It's not only a dark side.
Right.
There's the dark side, and like I say in the piece, there's also a light side.
A light side.
You got it. But if I must say, the dark side can be some of the challenges that you mentioned. You need to have funding and you need to have support and all of those wonderful and amazing things that can make ideas go through. But what always amazes me is I have to remind our listeners out there that you've got to support the entrepreneurs. You've got to support them. The entrepreneurs hire and encourage the folks that are your family members, friends, and neighbors. Because it is the entrepreneurs, I think, Mr. Terrence, and you can let us know what you think, who I feel will reach around and get those folks on board and provide employment for our very own community.
Right.
So it's real simple, but if you don't support the entrepreneurial efforts, the community efforts, if you don't buy from Platinum Needles, you don't buy from Hair Radio, you don't buy from the other African-American that are struggling in this country, they won't be around to hire anybody that you know.
Right.
And if you feel that going and spending your money outside of the community is going to encourage them to hire your family members, you are sadly mistaken.
Right.
So you really, to me, and it's never trying to make this a color thing. We love everybody and welcome everybody from every part of the rainbow. But what we're saying to you is, please, let's help to reshape our communities. And we can do this through entrepreneurship. So is there a dark side? Yes. Is there a lighter side? Absolutely. And these are some of the things that we speak to here as we broadcast live on this Thursday morning. And I just want to remind everybody, because if you are listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show today, this is a special 90-minute broadcast today, which we've actually been kind of broadcasting all morning, but we had to restart things and kind of reset things for today's broadcast, so we're happy to do that. And also want to say it's our show number 343. Now, also coming up at 8:30 this morning Eastern time, that's 7:30 Central time out there where Mr. Terrence. We've got Talk Radio coming up, and we're real excited about that, Mr. Terrence. So you're going to stick around for that, correct?
Oh, yeah, I'll be there.
Wonderful. So I am happy, too, to have Mr. Terrence here just doing his thing. And one other question on Baby Malia. and welcome to the Air Radio world. What's the one thing that has surprised you about the entire process, Terrence, about becoming a new dad? What has surprised you most?
If I would say one thing that surprised me most, it would be that my baby is an amazing sleeper. She sleeps 95 south. That's our new term. You know, we like to say 95 south, but I say the only thing my baby wakes up for is to eat, and then she stretches them long legs and them long arms out, and she conks out. She's an amazing sleeper. A lot of people were telling me, man, you're going to be sleepy and tired and all that. And I'm telling you this, we just got home yesterday, and I'm back on the radio show today, and she's still asleep. So how am I going to do 90-minute broadcast and three-hour broadcast with a newborn that just, you know, y'all haven't heard her cry, y'all haven't heard her do anything yet, because she's in la-la land right now. She sleeps. So that surprised me, because I heard, you know, all the stories, like, baby's going to be crying and you're going to be miserable, and I don't sound miserable. I'm happy, I'm excited, you know, and she's asleep right now, so I'm just leave her sleep a little bit longer, and then, you know, I'm going to wake her up, make sure she's
no, but she'll
happy
be joining
and
us on the Hair Radio Morning Show, Mr. Tanner. She'll be joining us on the Hair Radio Morning Show very soon.
Oh, yeah, you'll hear her. So if you hear a little spit up and different noises, it's not me going into a transformational phase. It's my baby, you know. So.
That is what it is. It doesn't get much better than that, Mr. Terrence. It really does not. We're so excited for you. And just doing amazing things, you know, these days. Mm-hmm. We really are just supportive. So I just wanted to say we'll give you a little bit of a break. We're going to be up with Trish Talk Radio in about a little over 30 minutes from now. So we've got a couple of amazing things that we want to share with you. The one that we kind of uncovered a little bit earlier is this amazing piece on Madam C.J. Walker, and really want to get that out and across with you guys, and I think that you'll appreciate the piece. It really talks to who this woman was, and then we'll see what we'll take it from there. And Mr. Terrence, you're going to be with us, so sit back, grab your cup of coffee now, and enjoy the quietude, because it won't be much longer.
I think they
were right about that. That's the one thing that every single story I've heard, everybody has said that. So we're going to keep our fingers crossed and all of that.
Oh, yeah. I'm please, so sleep into your A-team. Sleep into your A-team.
She's just awesome because she's going to be literally up and running and all around. And you're going to see everything through your fresh eyes. And it's just awesome. There gets to be nothing better. That much I do know. So I'm really excited for you. So, folks, keep it right here. We've got a lot to go this morning on the Hair Radio Morning Show. Stay with us.
One in a Million, the history of Madam C.J. Walker and her entrepreneurial legacy. Not even her poor and difficult beginnings stymied Madam Walker's road to greatness. Born December 23, 1867, roughly 2 years after the alleged emancipation of her race, she was an orphan at 7, a wife at 14, a mother at 17, and a widow by 20. The woman who would become known as the first self-made female millionaire and the greatest benefactress of her race was born the daughter of Owen and Minerva Breedlove, poor ex-slaves living on a cotton farm in Louisiana. They named their special little girl Sarah Breedlove. A washerwoman by trade, at the age of 33 in 1900, Sarah began selling a product door to door which she had formulated to remedy her own hair loss. She pinpointed the root of her hair problems, which was the scalp, and created hair care products and a beauty regimen for hair growth and maintenance that focused on the need for a clean and healthy scalp, scalp protection, and scalp stimulation for maximum hair growth. Her first product would eventually be called Madam C.J. Walker's Wonderful Hair Grower, and she boldly and proudly used her own likeness on her jars and her own before and after pictures to demonstrate her product's effectiveness. Per Madam's own words, she abhorred the impression held by some that she claimed to straighten hair. She emphatically stated, "I grow hair," and that there would be no hair-growing business today had I not started it. She described her concept and method of hair growth as beauty culture because she compared growing hair to growing and cultivating garden plants. She then broadened this concept of beauty culture by incorporating the value of cleanliness and professionalism, which emphasized the overall appearance, moral conduct, and character of the black woman. Black women from all over the country began writing letters to Madam Walker, attesting to the benefits of her products. By setting up a special correspondence course of beauty culture in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, then a manufacturing facility in Indiana, and later a beauty college in New York City, Madam was able to further establish and promulgate her program of beauty culture, which trained the black female in three areas. First, the black woman was taught the proper presentation of herself. She was to be clean, neat, properly attired, and well-mannered. Second, she was taught how to use Madam's hair care system on customers. And third, she was taught how to sell Madam's hair care products to customers. In so doing, Madam C.J. Walker provided a solution to the root of the black woman's demise. She raised the black woman's self-esteem and confidence about her own beauty and intelligence, and she empowered the black woman economically, thus freeing her from white servitude and male dependency. This accomplishment is even more amazing when put in the context of the time in which these things were done and in the context of Madam's own background. The time, one historian called the nadir, or lowest point in the history of the black race outside of slavery itself. The blessings of freedom was now marred by the blatant terrorist acts of the Ku Klux Klan and those like-minded individuals working in collusion with them. The harsh reality faced by the vast majority of blacks living in this era was that the number of lynchings peaked during the early 1900s, as did other backlashes sparked by Reconstruction, such as the burning of black churches and schools and the establishment of Jim Crow laws. During this dark period, most black women were either sharecroppers or washerwomen and house servants for whites. Madam Walker was no exception, but she was, however, exceptional. Madam Walker moved her ever-expanding special correspondence course business, founded on her system of beauty culture, to Indianapolis, Indiana, on February 19, 1910. She then purchased and paid for her home, adjoining which was a factory and laboratory, located at 640 North West Street. She endeared herself to the citizens of Indianapolis when she contributed $1,000 to the establishment of the Senate Avenue YMCA. It is reported that she was the only woman to make such a donation. Madam herself, when referring to the YMCA donation, had this to say, quote, "In referring to that $1,000 gift, I don't want you to lay so much stress on it, and do not say that I am the only one. You might say that I was the first and caused others to awaken to the sense of their duty in helping deserving causes for the benefit of the race," end quote. Not long after her move to Indianapolis, Madam Walker also became a member of Bethel AME Church, one of the oldest and most influential churches in the black community, to which Madam Walker contributed generously. In less than 2 years after moving to Indianapolis, on September 2, 1911, Madam C.J. Walker petitioned the Indiana Secretary of State to become incorporated, and on September 19, 1911, exactly 1 year and 7 months since her arrival in Indianapolis, the Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company of Indiana Incorporated was established, Madam Walker naming herself president and owner of all 1,000 shares of stock. A relentless worker and ingenious marketer and saleswoman, Madam Walker had thought to place her system of hair care products in black colleges all across the United States. She also regularly advertised in black newspapers, and she eventually placed her products in drugstores. As she traveled throughout the country, she wrote letters to her general manager in order to instruct him on how best to run her factory in her absence and how to implement all of her new ideas. However, the Madam Walker agents, Madam's recruited sales force, were her biggest asset. Madam held public meetings in churches, rented lodge halls and other such facilities, and put on demonstrations, including a slide presentation, in order to recruit black women to become Walker agents. Madam Walker taught and trained them in the methods of application and proper use of her hair oils and vegetable shampoo. Eventually, Madam organized a national convention for her Walker agents, giving away prizes and other incentives to motivate and energize her ever-growing troops of Walker agents. Sales generated from Madam Walker's manufacturing company and the hair care products it produced enabled Madam to give birth to yet another legacy, as Madam became known as the greatest benefactress of her race. Through monies earned and derived from Madam's work in the hair-growing business, Madam Walker regularly donated large sums of money to charity and to individuals of her race who were in need. In fact, Madam was so self-sacrificing and freely giving that those closest to her were worried that she would become financially ruined. Desiring all blacks to have decent homes, at times, Madam would assume mortgages of blacks who were financially strapped, allowing them to repay when and how they could. Various schools for blacks and certain social and civic organizations dedicated to the betterment of the black race were also beneficiaries of Madam's philanthropy. Though many have called Madam extravagant, her generosity and passion for her people were Madam's only extravagances. She gave not for self-aggrandizement, but rather to inspire other wealthy blacks to give likewise. Moreover, Madam's giving went well beyond monetary donations. She lent her name and time to worthy causes. She traversed the country, speaking against lynchings, and fought vehemently for the fair treatment of black soldiers who had served in America's military during World War I. Madam C.J. Walker was an ambassador of sorts, a spokesperson for all black-skinned people, a revolutionary, visionary, missionary force. It should therefore be quite obvious that Madam Walker's passing on May 25, 1919, was a tremendous loss to the black race. At that time, Madam had recruited over 25,000 black women from the United States, Central America, and the Caribbean as door-to-door beauty culturists and was well on her way to Africa. Her net worth was over $1 million, making her the first female, regardless of color, to become a self-made millionaire. She is one of the most successful black entrepreneurs of all time and one of the first to utilize the method known today as direct sales marketing to distribute her products. She had also managed to build a 32-room mansion in Irvington, New York, called Villa Loaro, which she had desired to be left as a monument to her name and as an example to her race of what hard work and black support of black enterprises could achieve. After Madam's 1919 passing, her hair care manufacturing corporation was used as collateral to secure the finances needed to build what is today known as the Madam Walker Theater Building. Completed in late 1927, the Walker Building Beauty Salon continues to operate there and continues to sell Madam C.J. Walker's original hair care products. Years later, in 1982, the trustees of Madam Walker's trust would deposit a large portion of Madam C.J. Walker Manufacturing Company's business records, historical documents, pictures, and memorabilia with the Indiana Historical Society, who took on the task of painstakingly organizing and preserving the Madam Walker legacy. 74 years after the incorporation of the Madam Walker Company in 1985, the 1,000 shares of capital stock of Madam's corporation were sold to a man named Raymond L. Randolph, making him the first person since Madam Walker herself to own all 1,000 shares of stock in the original Madam Walker Company. A graduate of Attucks High School, Mr. Randolph had never dreamed that he would become the owner and caretaker of this phenomenal legacy. In honor of Madam C.J. Walker, Mr. Randolph placed Madam Walker's image back on the jars of her original hair care products with the words, "Since 1911," placed underneath it. Doing business today as Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises Incorporated, the hair care company founded by Madam C.J. Walker continues to manufacture and sell her original quality products ensuring that the legacy of this remarkable woman never dies. The Madam Walker Agent Program has been reinstituted and is the main method by which her products are distributed today. On September 24, 2011, Madam C.J. Walker Enterprises sponsored a centennial celebratory walk called Tracing the Footsteps of a Legacy. This event marked the 100th year since the pivotal point in her entrepreneurial legacy when Madam Walker incorporated her manufacturing company, the Madam C.J. Walker business family, which includes the Madam Walker agents, will continue to keep Madam Walker's spirit alive and well by ensuring that her labor of love, her manufacturing business, continues operating according to the entrepreneurial blueprint she left behind and which is detailed in the historical documents of the company. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah Breedlove. You are indeed one in a million.
Hair Radio family, let me tell you about Lulu's Good Hair. We make natural hair, skin, and beard products. Our company focuses on using essential oils that are not harsh and never man-made, but handmade. We focus on restoring the luster and beauty of natural hair without chemicals. Check us out at lulusgoodhair.godaddysites.com. Our motto at Lulu's is, all hair is good hair.
You're listening to the Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines. We have a very special guest with us today. You know the name. It's Kyle Knight. And he is not just a rap artist, but a great musician. Kyle, I want to welcome you back to Hair Radio. Thank you.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Well, listen, I have to start. Let's kind of go back a bit. A lot of the fans of the Hair Radio Morning Show know who you are, as I did in the setup. You were an instrumental key component from our original Hair Nation Expo event that was live and on stage back in Queens, New York, back in like 2017 or so. You did such a dynamic job that folks are still talking about it as we look forward to this new Hair Nation Expo. Kyle, how did you, let's kind of go back a little bit. Tell everybody about your music, the genre of music, and who inspired you.
All right. Well, there's a lot of people who inspired me, you know, hip-hop legend Nas, especially hip-hop legend Common. And where I kind of originated from was my origins, really start from is really from my father's studio, really growing up in Manhattan and learning new records and all the old records, you know, all the Prince records, all the Michael Jackson records, of course, Teddy Pendergrass, and all the newer artists, hip-hop artists who were there at that time, as well as learning proper songwriting tools, and of course, how to use studio gear and things like that, and how to really produce a professional song. By me was really my songwriting and how deep I wanted to write as a songwriter, and also trips that I was taking around the world to Africa and many different places, and especially my father, who was a musician who owned a studio, he inspired me, as well as my administrative person who's on my team now, Mr. Kevin Goins, and I've had a lot of mentoring and teaching and things like that to bring you to Kyle Knight today.
That is amazing. And did you say Kevin Owens?
Kevin Goins.
Goins. Okay, wow. Well, we'll have to check in with some of these folks because you've just put out an A1 product. And I'm first to say, because I witnessed it with my own eyes, So, Kyle Knight, you're doing some great things. Now, I also have to say, now, let me just let everybody know, we're based in New York with Hair Radio Morning Show. You're in New York, am I correct?
Yes, correct. I'm here in New York.
All right. So, and that's the thing with musicians and folks who are from the Northeast. Other folks outside of, you know, different parts of the country may say, well, hold it. Would their music resonate with us way out here in Midwest America? And I say absolutely. Tell some of the folks some of the themes of your music, and, you know, when you are putting together these thoughts and going into the studio, what are some of the things that you share with your music? And give us some of the names of those tracks out there that we might recognize.
Oh, great. Well, I'm glad that you asked that, because what happens to me is also like a long period of songwriting. Like, hey, sister, I've been kind of writing that song my whole life. I never released it till it was really strong enough. And not only that, when I release a song, I make sure that it's universal enough so that it applies to all audiences out there, meaning the youth and the mature audiences. But not only that, through my lyricism and through my songwriting, you know, I really make it as relevant as possible. You know, like everything that you hear in The Truth, Hey Sister, and Addiction are one of the three singles that I have out now that are doing great out there on radio, is that they all have actual facts. And these are real facts that I've really researched online and getting the proper facts, not only online, but also in reading too, you know, in reading books. And so there's a lot of things that I go through when I'm building a song, you know, like, do I want to use like studio software sounds, or do I want to go for a live instrumentation feel, you know, because I really feel that the deeper the song and the deeper the message and the deeper the lyrics really stands for more of a significant production. So there's a lot of things that I really look for when I'm creating a song, and how creative I can be, and also where I can take the listener's ear, and how am I hearing this also on stage too, you know, because it's very important that when you're recording a song that you're also seeing how this is being recorded, so that when you perform the song, it's just like how you perform it up against the record.
Exactly. Now tell us about The Truth. Tell us about the full release. Yes, what's going on with The Truth?
Well, The Truth is doing excellent right now. It's doing about 2,000 spins a week right now on internet radio, which is excellent. You know, we're really getting an overwhelming response with that. The Truth covers everything in social issues, all the way from police brutality, climate change, government corruption, and much, much, much more. And really what The Truth does is really bring awareness to all the social issues that's going on around you, because a lot of people watch the news and they'll throw social issues over their shoulder. They don't want to hear about it. And especially our youth. But then when you're able to bring it to people in a relevant form, with lyrics, good lyricism, and good production, you know, it's accepted and it's respected.
Well, that's what I was thinking. And it's kind of told like in an 8-part series, if you will, which I think is innovative and different and just amazing. Now, a lot of this, and folks, if you've just kind of joined us, I do want to say this. We're chatting today with a very good friend and family member, we consider, here at Hair Radio and Hair Nation Expo. Of course, Mr. Kyle Knight, who is an artist. And your website is KyleKnightMusic.com?
Yes, correct. That's KyleKnightMusic.com, and everywhere else is Kyle Knight Music.
Okay. And now I do want to make sure we spell that. That's KYLE. KNIGHT.
Okay, yes.
Very good. So again, www.kyleknightmusic.com. And you said Kyle Knight Music. No, you said Kyle Knight Everywhere Else. Okay, great.
Right.
Now listen. Yes, go right ahead, Kyle.
Oh, thank you. And I know you asked me before, you know, what the process that I go through in terms of songwriting and things like that. And just to tell a little bit more about that, you know, I really try and push the boundaries as much as I can in today's hip-hop, because a lot of people are getting really tired of the mumbo-jumbo rap and things like that. And so when you have an artist such as myself, who's very unique and very different, there's certain things that could really be done to even really fill voids that were happening in hip-hop to bring it back into hip-hop, you know, such as fashion and style, also such as storytelling in hip-hop, real lyricism. And that's what we're doing here with me and Kyle Knight Music.
Well, I think you are, you know, like I said, you're doing some great things, and folks who are connected to us through Hair Radio certainly know all about what you're doing. And we invite everybody to get your music, to just follow you, to connect with you. They can do it by going to your site at columbinemusic.com, of course, can, you know, checking in with us at Hair Radio. And the big news, of course, is that you will be performing Kyle Knight, You Can Catch Him, live and on stage at the Hair Nation Expo 2019. Now, we will post the date and performance times. Of course, everyone knows our expo is over the course of 3 days, May 4th, 5th, and 6th, 2019. We'll have complete details all about Kyle as well at hairnationexpo.biz. So we're real, real happy. We'll connect you with his website as well there. So, Kyle, anything that you want to say, when you look at these rappers who are coming up today, when you look at hip-hop artists who are out there in this day and age, what do you say to them? What kind of encouragement do you give them?
Well, the encouragement that I give them is to definitely be as original as possible, you know, because when people hear you on the radio, internet radio, or even on mainstream radio, they really have to be able to tell you apart from the next person. And not only that, but your image and the way you look. So what I really tell young artists today out there and people in hip-hop is, you know, don't be scared to be different and step away from the crowd, you know. And when you do that, you know, step with your best foot out and to definitely strive and try very hard to be original as you can, because that's very, very important in today's industry. And the best artists are getting the best result because they are as original as can be.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, listen, Kyle, I just want to say thank you. But before we go, I want you to just take a moment to tell everybody about the experience that you had. Did you have a good time when you performed with us at Hair Nation, our first Hair Nation way back when?
Oh, I had an excellent time. And not only that, the music video that we shot, you know, when we did that at the Black Spectrum Theater, you know, we had such a great time that day. And when we were performing for you guys at the Hair Expo, you know, we just had to just do it again. And so we made the whole music video, the Truth Treatment, really just from the treatment that we just did at the Hair Expo, you know. So
wow.
It's really excellent. If you want to see what we did at the Hair Expo, you can definitely go on to Kyle Knight Music and check out what we did at the Hair Expo and check out the new Truth music video, you know, because we just pretty much tried to emulate what we did because it was a really outstanding performance. Thanks for having us there.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And it doesn't get much better than that, but it will. At the next Hair Nation Expo in 2019, where you are coming back, as we said earlier. So we can, you folks out there, you can get tickets at eventbrite.com. They're already on sale. And Kyle, anyone you want to shout out to before we say goodbye today?
Oh, yeah. I'd like to shout out Kyle Knight Music. Shout out my publicist, Angelo Ella B. Also, like to shout out my dad, David Knight. And I would like to shout out the Hair Expo, man. I'm really excited to come back on stage for you guys.
Thank you so much. Well, listen, thank you again for taking the time out of your busy day. We're going to follow you again. KyleKnightMusic.com. Kyle Knight, the artist.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We'll see you. Thank you again, Kyle. All right, folks, keep it right here for the very best of Hair Radio. Stay with us. We've got a lot more to come. Stay with us.
Hi, this is Renee Michelle Floyd with BeautifulHairProducts.com. Calling all vendors, calling all vendors. I'd like to invite you to the Hair Nation Expo 2019. This is a great opportunity where you can meet new faces, open up more business opportunities, and gain new clientele. We are going to have a blast, and we hope to see you there May 4th through May 6th, 2019 at the Hair Nation Expo.
Hi, my name is Ajak Deng. I am 27 years old and I've been modeling for 7 years now, 8 years.
Hi, my name is Nya Kim Garowich. I am 25 years old and I've been modeling for 2 years.
Hi, my name is Leomi Anderson. I'm 24 years old and I've been modeling for nearly 11 years now.
Hi, my name is Kadia Diaf. I'm 21 years old and I've been modeling for 2.5 years now.
This one girl asked me one time, she's like, is it true that when black people take a shower, or like the dark black people take a shower, the water don't touch your skin, like you don't feel the wet of the water in my skin, on your skin. And I was just like, huh? This doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you get in the water, you're going to get wet, despite of your black, yellow, purple.
One of the instances is where I was waiting at a casting for 3 hours. They'd seen my face. I'd been sitting there amongst the other girls. And when I finally got into the casting, they say to me, sorry, we're not looking for any African people. And I'm just like, well, that's 3 hours of my life I can't get back because of you, kind of thing. And I was just literally like to them, you know, if you're going to be racist, let me just tell you one thing, my heritage is Jamaican, but we're all from Africa. And they're just like, ah! I'm just like, really? Like, it's the ignorance is just like so shocking.
I had so many crazy experience with hair and makeup. Being backstage and not having someone to do my hair right or do my makeup right makes me feel like I'm not represented. Like, no one just really cares about my skin color or my hair type.
Before I even had cut my hair like this, I used to have an afro. You know, you could do a lot with an afro. You know, you could either braid it or straighten it or curly it, but it was like, we don't know what to do with your hair. The texture is too nappy.
I always have to travel with a brush and gel. Because when I'm backstage, sometimes I have to do my hair or do my makeup. Well, it's not that they don't provide someone to do it, but they won't do it the way I like it, or it won't be, you know, what I want.
But I had an experience in Milan where I went through hell, basically. They glued in a whole head of extensions, they ripped them out, they blow dried my hair, they straightened it, they put hairspray, and then literally he was just about to put like a really water-based gel on my hair, and I just turned around and I said, if you put this in my hair, it's going to make my hair go frizzy. And he literally just started going off, like calling me like the B word, telling me, who do I think I am? Who do I think I'm talking to? He can end my career in 2 minutes. And this is when I was 17 years old and it was in a room full of people. I felt so embarrassed and I was literally in tears. And that was when I really realized that, you know, being a black model is a completely different experience.
I was at this campaign and backstage, they didn't know how to do my hair. So they felt like, basically they had a white hairstylist and this guy didn't know how to do braids and he just like parted my hair and did whatever he wanted with it and I wasn't happy with it.
Backstage, yes, absolutely, because not everybody has the correct products to use on dark skin, or maybe they do have it, but they don't think of the whole undertone thing, because, you know, I have a red undertone, even though I'm darker than most.
I feel like often black models have to redo their makeup, and I remember all, like, the black models coming to me because I was the only one with my makeup bag, like, Leonie, I need some powder, the stuff that they're putting on me, they're trying to say it's translucent, but it's white, like, help me out here. So, yeah, it's an instance that I've come across numerous amounts of time.
I feel like it's unfair because white models don't have to do it. I've been in a lot of backstage and it's only the black models that do that.
Most of the time, if a makeup artist doesn't know what they're doing with my skin, I just kind of want to be the teacher that they never had. Bring out my own, my little, you know, makeup bag and just say, you know what, as you can see, this is the same, but this has more red in it and this is just gray. So it's going to make my skin gray. But if you want, you can mix that with this and then we'll get the perfect color of mine. And it's like, oh, most of the time they listen, most of the time they want to fight you on it.
When I would go to a show or photo shoot, you know, and then I would sit at a makeup artist's chair, you know, and expecting them to like put on a foundation, highlight, you know, concealer, you know, all the type of all stuff you do for makeup. And it's like, as they never have any products for me. You know, I was like, we don't know what to do. And it was like, oh, this is my favorite line. You don't need foundation, your skin is so flawless. Like, no, you don't have the foundation. It's not that my skin is flawless.
In New York, a lot of makeup artists know how to do black skin, so we never really have that problem in New York. In London, they kind of are very well advanced out there, and they know how to do it. It's when you get to Milan and Paris, or like Spain, that they're just like, oh my God, I finally got a dark skin girl, so here's my darkest makeup brand I've never used. You're like, that's not right.
Why is it that if a white model says, ah, you're hurting me, it's like, oh, sorry, babe, but me, it's like, oh, your grandma must have, I'm just like, no. My grandma has a nice soft touch, lies, because everyone knows that your grandma hurts your head, but she gets the job done, unlike them, so it's fine, you know?
This guy goes, do you taste like chocolate if I lick you? I was like, what? He's like, do you look like you taste like dark chocolate. So I just want to see, can I lick your hand? I was like, no, you're not going to do that. And he's like, why not? I just want to taste it. I was like, lick your hand and you tell me what that tastes like. And he did. And he's like, it tastes like skin. I'm like, that's what mine tastes like. Have a good day.
The thing that really drives me is the fact as well that I don't know what the future holds. Every single day, every single season, we're seeing so much progression for young black women within all industries. So I'm like, if I give up now, who knows where I could be? I could be like the Oprah Winfrey of the fashion industry.
Brands are just trying to make black girls this trend, and it's not a trend. It's diversity, it's representation, it's everything. And it's sad, it's very sad.
I want to leave a good mark in the industry. I want to do something that's going to change a lot of people's lives and that's going to help the world, humanity. So the future is bright. The future is promising for us, and I think we all just have to stick together and work together because it's the only way we can make it further.
Hi, I'm Carrie Hines from HairRadio.com, and I'm thrilled to welcome you to our next installment of Hair Nation Expo Live 2019. It's the largest African-American themed live hair show in the Northeast. It's being held over 3 big days at Saturday, May 4th, 2019, Sunday, May 5th, 2019, and Monday, May 6th, 2019, from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and on Monday from 10 a.m. to 5 at the world-famous Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. It's a live hair and beauty show that features the best in education, performances, hair and beauty demonstrations, competitions, two-stage areas, and shopping on our large exhibition floor. We have a full bar with our own drink specials and VIP areas. We also have our own exclusive Hair Nation Expo check-in counter where you present your admission ticket for the event. What's great about Hair Nation Expo 2019 is that there's so much to do in Atlantic City. The Showboat Hotel is located right on the boardwalk and at the water. It's footsteps away from amusement rides, restaurants, casinos, and so much more. Now, if you are a vendor, buy your booth or table early while prices are low. You get a standard 10x10 space with much more room for you to make money at Hair Nation Expo 2019. So you want to call us right away to reserve your space. Our phone number is 1-800-379-0748. Once again, that's 1-800-379-0748. Now, sponsors, you get much more back from your investment into one of the largest African-American trade shows in our country. So there's so much that you're going to earn back just from making a simple investment. Now, for more information, go to our website at hairnationexpo.biz. That's .biz. Call us at 1-800-379-0748. Now, remember parking. We have a great parking price at just $12 for self-parkers. And if you are interested in valet parking, it's only $15, and that's an all-day rate. Now, to our amazing show visitors, remember you do not have to be a professional in the hair or beauty industry to attend Hair Nation Expo 2019. Buy your ticket early, get it as low as $30 in advance, or you'll pay up to $55 at the door. Remember, $99 will cover you for all 3 days of admission into the Hair Nation Expo event. What do you get for the amazing low admission price? Well, you get many free classes and an opportunity to network with the very best. Don't forget to ask us about VIP pricing. Remember, we do have VIP pricing and we have VIP spacing. So spaces for you to have a great time. So do keep that in mind. Now, we cannot wait to see you Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. That's May 4th, May 5th, and May 6th, 2019 at Showboat Hotel in Atlantic City, New Jersey. I'm Carrie Hines. Remember to visit our website again at www.hairnationexpo.biz. B-I-Z. Thank you. We'll see you there.
Join us at Hair Nation Expo 2019 for the very first Hair and Beauty Industry Film Festival. It's the Hair Nation Film Festival, and it's launching an annual tradition at Hair Nation Expo 2019. Go to www.hairnationexpo.biz for more details about the Hair Nation Film Festival and Hair Nation Expo 2019. If you're a filmmaker, submit your work for consideration, or even be a speaker or panelist. I'm Mary, and now more with today's show.
All right, we're back live. You're listening to the all-new Hair Radio Morning Show. I'm Carrie Hines, and I have to say it is Thursday morning, August 30th, 2018. It's great to have you guys with us as we broadcast live from Brooklyn, New York, all over the world, literally. The person I want to kind of bring to the line right now, you guys know her. She's with every Thursday at 8:30 Eastern, live right here on the broadcast. It's Trish, Trish Talk Radio. Good morning, Trish. Welcome back.
Good morning, Carrie. Great to be back.
Yes, it is fantastic. I also want to say, we're going to just go ahead and jump on in today. We have a lot to kind of cover, and I know that you have some things that you want to also get out there, Trish. And we have a very special guest joining us with the hot topics today, the shop talk, as we call it here at Hair Radio and on Trish Talk Radio, Mr. Terrence, who we are going to say, Mr. Terrence, you guys know him. He's been with us over the years here on Hair Radio, and he has some news of his own, and I'll let Trish do all of the wonderful the things. I'm going to turn it over to you, Trish, and then I've got some announcements also that we want to get out there to everybody. But yeah, we'll go ahead and let you, Trish, go ahead, knock yourself out. Trish Talk Radio, folks.
Good morning to everybody. Good morning, all the listeners. Good morning, Terrence. And just want to give a special shout out and congratulations to you on the birth of your baby girl. So happy for you. That must be
amazing.
Say that again. I could barely hear you just now, Carrie.
Oh, here we go. I was saying my hands are in the air partying for Mr. Terrence.
So congrats. And to you and your family. But yeah, so it's been an interesting week all around, and I don't know if you guys have been paying attention to the news, but there has been some talk about Serena Williams and her attire for the French Open. That was kind of interesting.
Yes.
And I just kind of like it, you know, as I was reading this, it made me pause. Like, really? We're still talking about this in 2018? Like, they're still trying to police women's bodies and enforce these ridiculous uniform rules in the sports world for women that are just kind of ridiculous. And I'm just, things that make you go, you know? It's one of those.
Well, yes. And you know what? We are tired of just going, I'm tired of it.
Yeah.
It makes no sense. There are a couple things, I think, and Mr. Terrence, I think you were also saying this earlier. There's the bodysuit thing, which kind of kicked off everything, and they had a whole bunch to say about the bodysuit, and she even explained for circulatory reasons she wanted to do that. But even still... Even still, let's say she was just doing it because, so what? They actually, I never felt that those little mini skirt things that they used to wear, and I mean they were real high. They were real high. I remember seeing that because I grew up in those days of Billie Jean King and all those folks. And I remember that, Martina Navratilova and all of them out there. Steffi Graf, and on and on and on and on. And so to me, the whole thing is that there's a different set of rules, it seems, for the women versus the men. And it's just, I don't know. But there was the one thing also, not so much with that one, there was another one where there was this Caucasian female tennis player, not that that matters whatsoever, but she was trying to do, she had inadvertently put on her top, her blouse or shirt or whatever you call it, backwards. Mm-hmm. So she played from the camera and from the audience, and she had on a sports bra type thing, I guess, and she just switched her shirt. It was no big deal. It was so fast and innocent that I couldn't even imagine anybody would take umbrage with it. I was shocked when I heard that she had gotten fined. When the guys were sitting around with no shirts on, the players, you know, were walking through it. Unreal.
It is unreal. It speaks to this, you know, this unwritten rule and standard that have been held over women for...
No words, Trish. I had no words for that. I mean, what could you say? And when you see it, you will
really
get outraged because it is so... It wasn't even like she was purposely trying to be, a rule breaker, or it was something so innocent and nonchalant. And she still handled it with class and aplomb. And she, you know, she wasn't just out there ripping off her clothes doing a striptease, you know, in the middle of the court. She went over to the side, turned away, quickly did it so that she could continue. Mm-hmm. Something that anybody, you wouldn't have even thought twice about. And the fact that they literally fined her initially, it's just unfathomable. And to make matters worse and pour a whole bunch of salt into it, in the same shot, they just pan around and show the guys with no shirts on at all. You know, sitting around sipping tea. I said, wow, we have really got some double standards in this country. We love America.
Yeah.
Boy, are there some double standards. I was shocked, Trish. That surprised me, and we've seen a lot. But
you know,
that was such a...
I want to say that I was surprised. I want to say that, and really, like...
Uh-huh.
So it made me, like, kind of, like, turn my head a little bit to the side, like, really, still? But I'm not... Like, with all these things that are happening where you have these moments where, like, really? That's still, you know, we're still... That's still an issue? Like, you know, there's been so many of those moments between this year and last year that I don't think surprise was really my initial reaction. It was just like, oh, gosh, really? We're supposed to be making advancements, not, you know, staying the same or taking steps backwards, but...
Right.
Maybe those advancements come in the way of the Trish Talk radio show, the Hair Radio, where we're able to call these folks out on their behavior and the mindset and the old provincial thinking that they apparently seem to have. I hear you. I think it's awesome that you address these things and that you bring them up because we're still celebrating the Year of the Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
We're still
are.
Celebrating.
Yes.
Here. So
women in sports. And I saw, like, you know, I'll keep it real and be like, okay, you know, attire, whether it be appropriate or not, okay, yes, no, okay. But in this case where it was not only stylish, but aesthetically correct, like, you know, it's a catsuit, like the most comfortable thing for a woman to play in. Pants, everything is covered up. Nothing, you know, exposed, anything like that.
Well, Trish, you said nothing. You said everything is covered up. Well, maybe that's what the problem is to these folks.
But really?
No, I'm saying to them that maybe that's what they want, as things not to be so covered up.
I don't know. It takes
the
no
cat to be
sense
out of the suit. Yeah, it makes no sense. We've got to take complete control of everything because things are so topsy-turvy.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it may not have anything to do with color. I don't know. It may not have everything to do with financial disparity. I don't know. But common sense has been corroded.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to say that it has nothing to do with color, but we all know that that's not the case.
Uh-oh.
Right.
Uh-oh. Trish Talk Radio's going in. Uh-oh, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know what?
That would be so monumental if I could say, well, you know what? That had nothing to do with color, but let's you know, keep it.
Yeah. Keep it real, right? Keep it 100. We're gonna say that. Keep 100 today. You know, that I'm glad you mentioned it, Trish, because what I've created is a new hashtag, OurHairToo, T-O-O.
Mm,
and I want to remind everybody, and OurHairToo really is just another fancy way to say Black Lives Matter.
Mm.
Black women matter. Black men matter. And black children matter. Black families matter. And we all matter.
Everyone matters. Absolutely.
Everyone matters. And that's what this is about. So we're using OurHairToo, hashtag OurHairToo, because anything else, and you probably won't see it because they have all kinds of things in place to slow down the process of promotion through social media when you have Black Lives Matter, things like that. So here's OurHairToo. Hashtag it, OurHairToo, and we'll be able to communicate.
Guys,
now,
all the listeners, when you're, you know, having these discussions or posting anything, use the hashtag #HairToo. So we're gonna start that movement and get that blazed up, yeah.
Now, Trish, I have to say, and I know we had a chance to talk briefly, after the passing of Miss Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, how do you feel about all of that? Is there anything you wanted to add on now that she, at this point, she's lying in state? Anything you want to add about that? I know that they're moving her to her father's church. I'm sorry, her family church, I guess. Anything you want to add to that?
Well, it's definitely, you know, another icon has passed and everybody is still reeling from it. And, you know, even though she's been sick for some time, it's still, you know, once they pass over, it's still an event that you have to, you know, pay attention to. Like, she, so many great contributions to music that you cannot deny this woman's place in the world. Like, she just had this monumental place in our hearts that you're not going to forget about that. So I want to, you know, big rest in peace to the Queen of Soul and, you know, condolences to her family because I'm sure they're just at a great loss right now. But, you know, her music will definitely live on and the memories that we have of her contributions will always be there.
Exactly. And Mr. Terrence, did you have anything you wanted to say on her passing?
Yes. Miss Franklin, man, I just, my condolences go out to the family, to the friends, to the just all the people that was truly inspired by Miss Franklin. And may her legacy live on. We're going to still listen to those famous ballads and, you know, still keep her held in the just the most upright, glory that she deserves to be represented in. So I would just like to say, we still got your back. We're going to be listening and different strokes, that famous, that different world. I mean, not different strokes, but the different world anthem. I still watch that show to this day, and that's going to be my favorite memory of Miss Franklin.
Oh, where Aretha Franklin sang the theme song to A Different World.
Right, right.
So I don't know if you guys know this, but one of our very own social network members worked on the show. His name actually shows in the on the credits.
Nice.
Wow.
Shout out to
I never told you that.
No.
Oh, you guys do not know, he's not only great friends to Miss Oprah Winfrey. Mr. Lionel Williams is one of the folks whom I've always considered a protege. He was probably be upset in my head. But yeah, Lionel Williams used to work on A Different World.
Okay.
And
oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. So,
that's cool.
Yeah, so he can tell you. Oh, he's got amazing photos. If you look at his information, he's got tons of pictures with everybody.
Oh,
really
wow.
Everybody. But yeah, he worked on the show, so he can speak firsthand to that. And so I love to, and we're going to have, well, you know what, we've been talking about this, Aretha. Why don't we take a minute, let's get on a little Aretha song, and we'll be back in about 4.5, 5 minutes with more with Trish Talk Radio today. It's a really, I call this is just a wonderful hodgepodge show today, Trish, and it's been awesome. It really has. I kind of like these. Yeah, so this is what Renee was really saying when she spoke about Aretha, and I just think it's very, very, very interesting. I really do. So we'll be back. Stay with us.
My recollection of Aretha Franklin goes way back to when I was a child. I remember my parents used to play her songs all the time, and I remember me and my cousins, we would get together on the porch in the front yard, and we would form our little group and singing her songs. I remember being the lead on that song, R-E-S-P-E-C-T. And I just remember, you know, we were trying to sing the song like she sang it, and just the way she sang the song just commanded respect. And so she definitely was a queen, and she definitely had soul. So the coined title for her was Queen of Soul. She definitely lived up to that. I remember she did the theme song for A Different World, and all of us who remember those times, we lived for that show. And we used to hurry up so we can sing that theme song to A Different World. She was a very great interpreter of the lyrics to the songs that she sang. It was like a story that she was telling, which many of us, you know, well, not me as a child, but people in my parents' age group can very much relate. And so my memory of Aretha Franklin, the Queen of Soul, was very fond, and we're going to miss you, Queen.
Carolyn saying, Aretha, come by when you can. I've got something that I want to say. And when I got there, she said, you know, rather than go through a long, drawn-out thing, I think the melody on the box will help me explain. Gotta find me an angel to fly away. Gotta find me an angel who will set me free. My heart's without a hope. I don't want.
Yes, welcome back, guys. Thanks again for joining us this Thursday morning for the Hair Radio Morning Show and Trish Talk Radio. So thanks again for listening in. So, yeah, guys, so we were just having a little conversation where we were talking about some entrepreneurship. And I know this is, like, a big topic in, you know, around nowadays because 9-to-5 is not working for everybody. So a lot of people are taking the role of entrepreneurship. And, Carrie, I know you wrote an article on it, so why don't you tell us about that?
Oh, thank you, Trish. It's about is there a dark side to entrepreneurship? And we were even talking about this earlier as well. The article really talks to the fact that, yes, I believe that there is a dark side in general when it comes to entrepreneurship, because entrepreneurship is tough. It's not an easy road. But what each of you out there can do, the fans of our shows, can support us. Because by supporting entrepreneurs in our community, we're supporting our community.
Absolutely.
Now, what I wanted to ask you by extension, is there a dark side for women? Do you think, Trish, of Trish Talk Radio, that there is a possible, a potential dark side for being an entrepreneur for women?
Absolutely. The issues that I've run across personally, I don't know if all women have experienced this, but as a woman in a predominantly male industry of, photography, it's been a little weird sometimes when it comes to male business counterparts, because it's kind of like, all right, there's an aspect where some are very respectful, you know, they, you know, business is business, and then there are those who use it as a dating tool.
Mm-hmm.
And I find that more so the problem that I've run into is that men don't respect men in the industry. They look at us more as, you know, oh, well, you know, yeah, I'll work with you, but also, yeah, what's up? Would you like to go out?
You mean to tell me that they're like we cannot get past as guys that women may not, that they just want to do business. Like, we have to make it a personal, thing. I just don't, wow, that's deep, Trish.
Right.
You know, it's the case where I understand when it comes to, you're attracted to somebody regardless of business. You're kind of curious. You want to see where it can go. But in the same point, if somebody is, you know, approaching you at a professional and business level and there's no indication of, you know, trying to, you know,
trying to get next to you, we used to say in the old days.
Like, you know, maybe.